Amen. One moment. Amen. Because I want to pray for Israel before we get started. And I want online to be here with us. Welcome those online, listening online, all around the world. If you haven't heard, there is war going on. And there's been wars going on. There's been rumors of wars. But there's literally war going on right now in Israel. And the Bible is very clear about those that stand with Israel. And we, the church, the body of Christ, needs to stand with Israel. And we must not waver from that. And it doesn't matter if those in world leadership or in our nation are with Israel or not. Yes, it does matter, but it doesn't matter to our personal decision as the body of Christ to say, you know what, we stand with our brothers and our sisters in Israel. We take a stand. No matter what it looks like, we must stand with Israel because they are God's chosen people. They are the center hub of not only the world, but of God's spiritual, everything revolves around Israel. If you read the Bible, everything revolves around Israel. And you may say, well, I love the Eastern Shore. This is God's country. I'm telling you what, Israel is where it's at. And this area will be blessed, and your life will be blessed, and this church will be blessed because we're linked with Israel. Amen. So this is important. I don't take this lightly. It's before the offering. It's before the message. It's before what we need to do in church today and what the Lord has for us to share today. Israel is hurting. Israel is under attack, and I want to pray. Amen. So if you could bow your heads, you listening online, just bow your heads right where you are. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your chosen people in Israel, Lord God. I thank you that you established your covenant there in Israel, your covenant people, Father God. Lord, and I thank you for Jesus and what he has done for the church and has provided the body. But we as a body of believers stand with Israel. We stand with Israel in faith, believing God, that you will protect your people, Father God. And I know through battle, through war, there is death, there's innocent life that is taken, Lord God. But we can stand in faith here in this nation, here in this area, here in this body, and say, Lord, we are with Israel. We support them, and we believe in them, and we believe in what they are doing, Lord God. And we ask for your protection, your provision upon that nation. And as we read our Bible, we already know the end. We already know the end, that you're going to come back and establish Israel, Father God. Establish your kingdom there, Father God. But till then, Lord, we stand in faith with them and declare the victory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you for that. That had to happen. The Lord spoke that to me. It has to happen. And I want you, as the Lord impresses upon you this week, be praying for Israel. It's not a one-time. Prayer is not a one-time deal where you say, well, I took my 30 seconds, I took my hour, I prayed, and then, no. The house is a house of prayer. We should pray without ceasing. So when the Lord impresses upon you to pray, pray. Amen. Please pray for Israel. Pray for our nation. Amen. We know there's things we need to be praying for. If you're lacking areas to pray into, give me a call. I'll send you a text a mile and a half long that it'll take you an hour to read it, because there's plenty of things we can be praying for, believing God with. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But if you can turn to Malachi 3, we're going to get into the offering message today. And if you're saying, well, why do you do an offering message? Because I want to see all that God has for you come to pass.
Amen.
Amen. I want to see what God has for you to come to pass. And I shared, it was interesting, the message I shared last week. And I want to kind of add to that. But in Malachi 3:10, very familiar scripture, it says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. If you have your Bibles, I want you to underline windows of heaven. That's what I want to touch on here this morning to get you to understand what that really means. When the windows of heaven are open, That means God is pouring something out. When you read through Scripture, if you hold your place there and go to Genesis, if you have your Bibles, Genesis verse 7, in Genesis, or chapter 7, and Genesis chapter 8. But each time he talks about the windows of heaven, it's talking about God pouring something out. And it just so happens that it's talking about the flood. And most people, when you talk about the flood, they get anxious and they think about loss of life and things of that nature. But there's more to the story. Because when the windows of heaven flooded the earth, when windows opened and water was poured out, it dealt with sin, but it also brings blessing when water's poured out. And when the windows of heaven are open, there's not a famine in the land. There's blessing in the land. All through Scripture. But when the windows are closed, there's famine in the land. There's drought. The ground's burning up. And there's famine and there's destruction. But when windows are open, it's blessing. And when we can see it this way, we'll understand why a tithe is so vitally important. Because that is literally the key that unlocks the windows of heaven for the blessing of God to pour out in your life. Just like he did all through Scripture. See, if the windows are not open, there's famine in the land. But when the windows are open, God is pouring out blessing upon the land. And what better thing to happen in your life than windows to be open in your life? Amen. The windows of heaven to be open in your life. So I'm sharing this to encourage you that tithe is directly associated with opening windows. But in Genesis 7, verse 11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, the second month, the 17th day of the month, if you don't think God is detailed, just read your Bible. On that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. And that's what caused the flood to come. The windows of heaven. God moved and changed the landscape. When we tithe, it moves God to change the landscape for those who tithe. All right, so this isn't the blessing in your life is a direct reflect on your tithing, on your giving. Amen? And my giving cannot open the window in your life. Get me here. It's your giving that opens God's window in your life. It's an individual giving. It's an individual window. And it just so happens that those that are faithful and trust in the Lord, the window opens in their life, but the person next to you could have a famine going on at the same time. Flood of blessing and then drought right next door. And if you're not familiar with what I'm talking about, just live here a little while and you'll realize that storms will come and they'll rain and you can see the edge of the storm and the farm next to them doesn't get any rain. But I'm not saying that the farmer that gets the rain is the one that's tithing. And I'm not getting into that. But I'm saying on a spiritual level, we must realize that as we tithe, that's literally the key that goes right into the locked window of heaven and unlocks it for God to pour out a blessing in your life. And it's a decision that you make to say, you know what? I want that open in my life. I want the floodgates of heaven to open up in my life. And you can see that that is what will happen with the tithe. It says, bring all the tithes if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. So God cannot open the windows of heaven till you release the key. Amen. And he'll turn it, he'll open it, and he'll pour it out. But the tithe is the key that opens the window. Get that. Get a hold of that truth that the tithe is directly associated with opening the windows. So when the windows of heaven open, abundant provision and the flood comes gushing forth. All right? And the tithe is not just for you individually. We here at New Freedom, we tithe. The church literally tithes to ministries that feed this church. And that's what's going to cause the windows of heaven to open up as for the body of believers. This building, the things that happen with a congregation of our size, the things we do, over 400 salvations that have come forth from soul winners in this church, witnessing out there. What is that? That is the windows of heaven opening up. Over 400 people have received the Lord from those in this church that have gone out. This building, everything that we do is financially has been phenomenal. We don't have debt. We don't have lack. None of that. Why? We tithe. The windows of heaven are upon this ministry in this church. It's not me. It's not Pastor Joe or Pastor Tim. They're great guys. I'm okay too. But that does not make the church blessed. The person does not make the church blessed. God is what brings the blessing and the increase to the church. It just so happens we have the ability to unlock that thing to allow it to flow. And you can do the same thing in your life. And I want to give you the opportunity to do so. Amen. So if you, an offering envelope for you that are present with us on the back of your chairs, if you need one, it's right in front of you with a pen. If you can't find it, ask an usher. They'll help you out. Amen. But those listening online, you can go online to newfreedom-church.com. See, I have my handy-dandy reminder here. For you watching here in person, it's up on the overhead. You can give. Also online, you can do Venmo at NFC Give, or you can write a cash or a check and mail it to P.O. Box 164, Churchill, Maryland. So there's many ways to give. Why? Because that is the key that opens the windows of heaven. Amen. And people are like, why do you talk about giving? Because I want your window open.
That's right.
And I want it to stay open. Because I want you to be able to live and never have to deal with famine. Never have to deal with pestilence. And it goes on and says that he will rebuke the devourer. So this key of tithing not only opens up heaven, it closes up hell.
Yeah.
It literally shuts down the enemy from stealing your fruit. When if you're a business owner, tithing is where it's at. Your business should tithe. Why? Because of this very principle. You will be blessed and have business when other secular companies will be struggling. You will thrive in the land. Amen? You will thrive. The people of God never lacked any good thing. They walked in the wilderness and their feet were fine the whole time. How does provision? God makes a way. Amen. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to make the way in your life. This is a personal thing. Giving is personal. Amen. The 1 Corinthians tells us that give with a joyful heart, not grudgingly or a necessity. I'm not sharing this to try to pull money out of you. I'm sharing this for you to get into the flow of what God has for you. This has nothing to do with me. This is between you and the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If I could have the ushers, please. Amen. If you're listening online, get ready. Go ahead, ushers. Hallelujah. God is good. God is so, so good. He's ready to pour out a blessing in your life. He's ready to bring provision in your life. Watch what the Lord can do. Watch what the Lord can do. Hallelujah. That I will not open up the windows of heaven. God cares about you personally. That's a personal scripture directly to you. Jesus is saying, when you tithe, I will literally open up heaven for you personally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. As people are preparing their offering, getting it ready. You listening online, preparing your offering, getting it ready. I will say this, if you have a home church, your tithe goes to your home church. Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on in, guys. It goes to your home church. A tithe is where you get fed locally. If you want to give an offering to New Freedom, it blesses you. We're sowing into your life, you can sow into that. But your tithe, listen to me, if you have a home church, it goes to the home church.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not for us. Please realize that. The tithe is for your local church. Amen. It is not money for New Freedom. There's something in this because I guess there's somebody online listening. Offerings go where your heart releases you to release them. But a tithe is for your local church. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what it is, but there's something there. Heed that. If you could bow your heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that is in our hands to be able to unlock heaven. Lord, I thank you for the tithe, Lord God, 10% that you're asking of us to open up all of heaven can be done through faithfully giving 10% of our income. What a marvelous, marvelous truth. How awesome is it, Lord, that what you've provided for us, that all that we need to do is release 10% of our income and all of heaven is backing us financially. Lord, I ask that you bless this tithe, bless this offering, Father God. Use it in your way, in your will, to glorify and magnify and expand your kingdom here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to get into it. Amen. Sometimes I have to encourage myself. You know, I got to tell myself what I'm doing. Amen. You can laugh at me. It's all right. Has anyone ever had to do that? Yeah. Yeah. You're in something. You're doing something. All of a sudden, you're like, where am I going from here? And you got to talk to yourself and tell you, find out what the Lord's speaking to you. Hey, what do you want me to do next, Lord? Well, that's where I'm at. Hallelujah. Well, today's message is making a mark. Making a mark. And the Lord gave me this message because there is something very key to this message that the Lord spoke to me. And he gave me a specific scripture to minister on. And I already had a sermon. And he's like, no, that's your sermon. I have a word for the church today. So I'm going to give you that word today, and I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to be faithful to release what he's given me to release. And the title, as I said, is Making a Mark. A mark, to mark something, you must be moving. Something has to be moving to make a mark or make an impact. And the Lord spoke to me, he's like, in the natural, it's kinetic energy. That's what changes things. That's what makes a mark. So I looked up kinetic energy because it's been a long time since I went to school. And kinetic energy is mass multiplied by velocity squared. So it's a mass and it's the velocity or the speed of something. Both of them together make kinetic energy. So he took me into this place of how does that operate spiritually? Because if you have a mass myself, but there's no energy or no movement, I make no impact. I make no mark on anything. I don't. If I'm not talking and I'm just standing here, I am not doing anything but growing older. Nothing's happening. Or if I'm moving, but there's nothing behind what I'm doing, all I'm doing is a busybody. I'm just moving around doing nothing. I'm not making a mark on or an impact on anything. I'm just floundering around moving. So we need to realize to make a mark, it takes a mass, but it takes movement to connect together to hit and make a mark. So he gave me a spiritual truth. And he told me the mass that needs to take place in a believer's life, that's authority. Authority is a spiritual weight in a believer's life. That's the mass of who you are spiritually. How much authority you have is not based on your physical size. It's not based on your age. It's based on your faith and trust in the Lord and how much you know Jesus. So that's your spiritual authority. And when that is moving, that's when you break down the walls of the enemy's camp. That's when you change the landscape spiritually and you make a mark on society. You make a mark on your neighbor. You make a mark in your community is because you have God's spiritual authority in your life. The power of God in you, and you're doing something with it.
If you're not doing anything, you have authority. You know Scripture. You know the Word. You quote it. But you're not doing anything with it. You're not making any mark. Or if you're doing everything, every task out there, but there's no spiritual authority and you're not in the will of God, all you're doing is going through the motions and not making a mark. But when you combine them together, you literally change your circumstances. You change the landscape of your life because God in you is moving, and wherever God is, you are the salt of the earth and you change the flavor of the land. Or you're the light of the world and you light up the darkness wherever you tread your foot. You see what's taking place here. You can make a mark because of God in you and you moving forward. And if you think about a bullet, a real small bullet can make a big impact because of its speed, its velocity, right? But if it's sitting still, it can't do anything. But the mass of it, if you have a bigger one, even though it's maybe going a little slower, it'll make a bigger impact because of the mass of it, all right, the weight of it. So the weight of your words, the weight of your authority in Christ makes a huge impact. You can have a bulldozer that goes very slow that can change the landscape wherever it goes because of the weight of it, all right? Or you can have a bicycle that doesn't do much impact change to the ground, but it goes a lot faster than a bulldozer. You understand what I'm saying? So you need to grab a hold of both, run with both, and you'll do great things for God. That's what we are called to do here in life. In this world, we are called to mark this life, mark this world, have an impact. A lot of people want, I want to leave a legacy. Well, that's wonderful. And we can do that this Wednesday night. You can leave a legacy when you do your will, right? It's much more than that. When you look at the Spirit, it's not your legacy. It's God's legacy through you that you want to leave. Amen. I'd rather impart to my kids the kingdom of heaven than the kingdom of David. Because the kingdom of David doesn't do much. But the kingdom of heaven changes their life forever and is passed down through the generations. That's leaving a mark. That's leaving an impact on my children. When you come to church today, I don't want you to come for Pastor David. I want you to come for God. Because God is what's going to impact you to live your life to the fullness. To grab a hold of and leave a mark in every relationship you come across. Because if a relationship is just about you or just about that person, it's temporal. It's limited. But when God's in the center of it, you have covenant with God, you leave a mark on that person. And that's what relationship does. That's what fellowship does. It leaves a mark. There is people that say few words to me, but I know the presence of God is on their life. And when they speak to my life, I listen to what they say. They may have few words, but I'm telling you, the impact and the mark on my life. There's a man, he's passed away years ago, named Buddy Grussing in the Nazarene Church. He was an usher or a greeter. Very quiet, soft-spoken man. But when he shook your hand, the love of God just radiated through your hand. And I think to myself, I remember that guy. And he said very few words, but just a smile, good morning. But there was something in him that changed and brought, and I'm telling you, I was only like 10 years old. That's over 30 years ago. And I still remember his face. I remember the man like it was yesterday because the impact he had on me. Very few words, but had a great impact in my life. Still to this day. And it's not anything like super that I'd share around the world, even though I just did. But it's nothing that would be like big to somebody else. But it was big to me. And that's what the Lord has done in me and he can do in you. Is he can have such an impact on you, he can say few words, but all of a sudden your life has changed from that day forward. I love you, dear child. I love you, son or daughter. And all of a sudden that love radiates you and it marks you. It literally seals you to say, you know what? I know no matter what, God loves me. I don't have to hear love from other people. I've heard it from the one source that I need to hear it from. because maybe my spouse or my friends won't tell me they love me. But I know who does love me. And that's the very center of my life that has marked me. He stamped me with His Spirit. He seared my heart with the Holy Spirit that I'm marked now. I'm marked now from heaven as a child of God. And no weapon formed against me will prosper. No, there's no enemy in hell. There's no demon in hell that can stop the love of God that's on the inside of me. Because love never fails. And when I'm marked with that, and you're marked with that, it changes everything. Amen. It changes everything. Things you hear don't matter because you've already heard from heaven. When you hear from heaven, it marks you. When you get on your knees or you give your life to Jesus, you're marked. The power of heaven is on your side. You have covenant with Almighty God. And everything else really doesn't matter. You go through life doing His will, and He'll lead you and guide you where you need to be. And the fluff and the everything else in life does not matter. Because what matters is Him. Because you're marked by Him. And that's the word He wants me to give you today. And I'm going to share Scripture with you in Luke 9. Luke 9. And when you're marked by God, you'll want to please God above everything else. So going to church, you being here today shows the mark on your life. Because you say, you know what? God is where I need to be, in the presence of God. I need to be in fellowship with other believers. I need to obey His word and not forsake the assembling of myself together. I need to prioritize that God's number one on Sunday. And if you're on vacation, God bless you. Being on vacation is great. You're not out of the will of God if you're on vacation. I'm not going to get into the do's and don'ts for not being at church on Sunday. All I'm saying is, it's important to be in fellowship on Sunday. That's one part of it. Because you're marked by God. This is your family, church. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and not having a leg? That's like part of your family not showing up to church. Part of your body is not here. So when part of the body is missing, it hurts the rest of the body. It limits the body because you have gifts and talents in you that feed the other people. I personally have some gifts I bring. The other pastors and leaders have gifts they bring. But really what makes up the body is you. You are the body. We're just a part like everybody else. No more special. Jesus is the head. We're the body. Okay? And when we come together, it's a blessing. But it's all the people that are marked by God coming together. Literally, each and every person knows Jesus as Lord, and that's what makes the family of God. That's what makes the church, and that's what makes it strong, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So when we're together, there's more power being together. There's a corporate anointing together. Amen. If you're down and out and you come Sunday morning, guess what? You're going to leave peaceful and joyful. Because you become part of the family of God. And we pray for each other and we care for each other. And we allow God's presence to empower us and build us up. To mark us. Every time we come together is an opportunity for the Lord to say, bless you, child. And put His hand upon your life. Every time we come together, bless you. Bless you. Amen. That's why every time you walk in the door of church, you're going to feel better leaving than when you came in. Because the word doesn't do anything but uplift you, increase you, empower you. Amen? And we just cast the darkness off. The heavy weights of life, just cast off. Cast them off. Let me get to some Scripture. It's important. Scripture's important. Everybody say, Scripture's important. Amen. I'm going to start in Luke 9, 1 and 2, because I want you to understand something here. That when you're marked by God as a disciple, there's some things that He wants you to do. And this is just one area that I felt to share with you. It says in verse 1, Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So there you go. Wait, what is it? There's kinetic energy right there. Power and authority. So he's given you the power to go and the authority to speak. So when you go and you speak the name of Jesus, everything changes as a disciple of God. As you are marked, you go and mark the landscape for the kingdom of God. Amen. You go and take ground for God. Amen. So I wanted you to see that we go have authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. So the church is marked by God, and we are children of God and students of the word to go to cast out demon, lay hands on the sick. Amen. To go and to do the will of the Father in every area. In every area. There's nothing that this world should hinder the church from going and doing. Yeah. Same thing with COVID. COVID does not stop what the church is doing. Leprosy did not stop Jesus from going and laying hands on them and healing their bodies. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You got to get a hold. Don't let the now dictate what the Lord has spoken. Because history repeats itself. The things that we deal with now, they dealt with then. Transsexual, all those things, they dealt with it then. Sodom and Gomorrah happened a long, long time ago. Same thing. It repeats itself. God's word is very clear on these things. That's not what I'm talking about today. But let's drop down to Luke 9:23. This is the scripture the Lord gave me, and this is where I'm going to stay the rest of the service. Luke 9, verse 23. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation first. It says, "Then he said to the crowd, 'If any of you want to be my follower,'" who wants to be a follower of Jesus? Amen. Here it is. "'You must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the world, the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels.'" Verse 27, "I tell you the truth, some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God." What was he saying to his disciples in that last verse? Some will be alive standing here during my resurrection, during the time when I will no longer be here and I'll go to heaven. You'll see the kingdom of God in operation, is what he's saying. But let's go back to verse 23. In New King James it says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me,'" number one point, "'let him deny himself.'" To understand being a Christian and walking with the Lord, this to me is truly the key to walking in victory every day of your life. Literally, this is the key to walking in victory every day of your life. Because if we do not understand this scripture and what it means, this is what allows heaven to move in your life on a daily basis, right here. Because it goes on and says, take up your cross, how often? Daily. Daily. So if God is telling us to do something daily, and his mercies are new every day, there's something we must do daily to keep the presence and the power of God in operation in our life. Amen. There's something that we are marked with that we must have to operate in daily as a Christian to live in the presence of God. And here we go. This is what it is. It says, deny himself. Let him. Who denies himself? You do. This isn't talking about denying your neighbor, denying people. It's an intimate relationship with you. To deny, what does it mean to deny yourself? To deny yourself is to deny your outer man. your physical realm, your emotions, your feelings, your worldly desires. You say, well, that's not really nice. I don't know if I want to be a Christian now because I got to deny all the things that I want. That's not what it's saying. You just don't know what you really want.
Amen.
You're going to see something. I just took it a step, like 5 steps further when I said that. Because when you think about it, you don't have to turn here. Psalms 37:4. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, wait a minute here. That sounds like a contradiction. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but you got to deny yourself. That doesn't make sense. It makes perfect sense when you understand one's talking about the natural and the other one's talking about the spiritual. When you see what God's trying to do, he's trying to bless you. He just has to get you out of the way. Amen. When you deny yourself, your physical, God will impart to you and show you, and it will be revealed the blessing of why he created you in the first place. And you don't know your really God-given desires till you get your fleshly desires out of the way. Because it's your physical, emotional realm that if you're moved by that constantly, you'll never understand the desire and the will that God has for your life. His will is on the inside of you. It's not on the outside. You walk out the will of God on the inside, so you have to get out of self physically to walk in the spiritual realm, to walk in the desire and the plan and the will of God for your life. This is a daily thing you have to do. And if you do not do it on a daily basis, you have really bad days. Because you have days where you get in your head and you get in your flesh, you get mad about things, you get frustrated about things, you let things dictate your life instead of you marking and having an impact on those around you, you allow that to impact you instead. You understand what I'm saying? Because if we do not put ourselves under, we allow everything else to dictate self. Because your feelings and your emotions are moved by what they see and what they hear. But if you can bypass that and deny that realm of you and get into the inner part of what God says about you, you'll realize that you have great godly desires to do wonderful things. And you'll see the things that you desire in your flesh later will come to pass as long as you prioritize what is going on the inside. If you can crack the fleshly realm and enter into the spiritual realm, you'll realize that God will take you right out of that place and he'll bless the natural realm all around you. But it's as he plans and he wills to do it. And the problem with a lot of people is they can't get past the fleshly realm. They can't get to the point of denying themselves because they want to do what makes their flesh feel good. And addiction and all those things speak to those areas. And I'm not just against the addiction part. I'm just saying life in general, you will judge yourself. You'll condemn yourself. And the Lord's not, he can't condemn you. Nobody else is condemning you, but you're the hardest on yourself because you're looking at things through your feelings and your emotions and your flesh. But when you deny it, when you reject what you're feeling and say, Lord, speak from the inside out, not from the outside in. Speak from the inside out, Lord. Show me what it is that you have for me. So it says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Delighting yourself in the Lord is what? That is taking time in prayer, in devotion, and just setting time aside to say, Lord, what do you have? I'm going to delight myself in you, make time for you, and today is not about me. It's not about the football game at 1 o'clock or 4:30 or whenever they are. It's about you. Today's your day, Lord. Show me what it is today. And every morning you'll get to a place of delighting yourself in the Lord.
Amen.
And he'll give you what? The desires of your heart. Some of us struggle with what our heart desires are. We're still searching for them, wondering what they are. But if we're feeding them by outside influences, we never get to the point of fulfillment in life, because we never hit the desire of our heart that we need to hit. We think we do. And we can do it with hobbies, we can do it with money, we can do it with all the, you list everything in the natural to try to fill this place of fulfilled desire in life. Why do millionaires commit suicide? Because they have not touched and tapped into the inner part of what God designed them to be. Money could not buy what this is talking about. Money cannot buy what God created you to be. Money cannot buy the desires of your heart. It buys the desires of your flesh. And when you do not deny yourself, you're literally saying, I'm going to allow my outer being to operate where sin operates in full force. See, when you fulfill the lusts of the flesh, you're allowing your body and your feelings and emotions to dive headlong right into the world's way of doing things. Where sin operates, you're saying, that's where I'm going to operate. But when you deny yourself, you are saying, I don't operate on this system any longer. I operate in the kingdom of heaven. And I get everything from God, and He speaks directly to my heart, and He bypasses all this. And when He does that, you have peace like a river on the inside that man in this world cannot fill. So many people live their life void of this very truth that God works on the inside of you and brings peace, and there's nothing the enemy or the world can do to stop it. But if they never get past this denying of self, everything flows and filters through self. And that's why people are selfish. That's why people want it a certain way. That's why our culture is in lawlessness. Why? Because it's all about self. What can feed me? What makes me feel happy? If they get past denying of self, they'll realize true happiness is found in Jesus, their Creator. True happiness is found in their Creator. Oh, God. If anyone desires to come after me, this is talking about a follower of Jesus. We all wanted to be followers of Jesus. Point one, deny yourself. Your ministry is not your ministry. Your ministry is ministering Jesus through you. It's not your ministry. I'm not the pastor because that's my ministry. I'm the pastor because God placed me here. Amen. You say, well, it's easy for you to say. God has desires and plans for your life that He wants to reveal directly to you that nobody else knows. And people want to deal and minister to people. Well, I see this on you, brother. I think you're going to do this. I'm speaking directly to his feelings and his emotions based off of how he acts and what he does. If he talks good, oh, he's a pastor because he can talk to people good. God doesn't look at if you can talk to people good. He takes the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Great being a pastor, brother. Weak things of the world to confound the wise. Amen. Thank you, I think. Yeah. Amen. So it's not about the physical. Physical does not dictate spiritual. Spiritual dictates physical. That's why when you have the light and you walk in the light, darkness has to flee, because the spiritual light in you, the power of God, dictates your future. God works through you to plan His good pleasure. And it's on the inside of you that it comes out. If I did any of this out of my flesh as far as ministry goes, woe unto me, what a shame it would be. We'd have a building here with no people if it was out of my flesh. God is doing this. And God has to continually do it. And you'll see in your life, God has things He wants to do through you and in you. And He'll mark you first, and then He'll mark those around you through you. But He cannot do things through you till He does it in you. You will not flow in the manifestation of the things of God, the gifts of the Spirit, all these things, till they operate in your life. Oh, I want to preach to the world. Well, allow Jesus to preach to you a little bit. Get to know Jesus yourself before you start sharing Jesus. Because what religion does, religion will take be a form of godliness, but deny the power. So religion will go out there with legalistic things to try to do's and don'ts. But there's no power behind it to bring change to the people's lives. There's no demonstration to mark the people. See, there's fruit that comes through those that are marked. When you're marked, there's a fruit behind your life, meaning you're producing something. Your kinetic energy is operating in your life. When you speak the name of Jesus, people get healed. When you speak the name of Jesus, people get delivered. People get saved. People accept the Lord. And I thought to myself, when I was soul winning and nobody wanted to receive, I was thinking to myself, what am I doing? And right there, I was out of faith. Right at that moment, I spoke fear in that moment. You say, Pastor, I can't believe it. Yeah, I'm human. But then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, keep going. Keep going. There's the field is white unto harvest. Keep sharing my word. It'll come to pass. It's not about you. Just keep sharing my word. So I was like, Lord, I'll do it. And I looked back and I saw that family. And the whole household got saved. Accepted the Lord. But it's nothing to do with me. It's just listening to God, getting away from self, and saying, Lord, use me. That's it. But I can't be moved by the other circumstances. I can't be moved by what other people are doing or saying. I can't be moved as a pastor what people say about New Freedom. I can't be moved by that. Because they're in the realm of the flesh, and God has a plan for New Freedom that's spiritual, that's changing people's lives, that's raising people up that go to Bible school, that share the gospel around the world. God's doing these things. But if we get caught up in the fleshly realm, in the physical realm, we're really limiting what God wants to do. So this is a daily thing. We must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. So understand that denying yourself is saying no to the fleshly desires or the earthly desires or the emotions and the feelings. That's what denying self's talking about. He's not talking about denying self like stop eating, stop doing the physical things for your body. He's talking about denying your own will. Amen? Denying your own will for this earth, for this life. Well, I'm going to do it my way. That's not denying self. Denying self is let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Not my will, but your will, O God. It's like Jesus saying, I'm about my Father's business. Not my will, Lord. I must decrease, but you must increase. There's so many scriptures about denying self. Paul said it many times. He said it. I die daily. What's he talking about? This exact scripture. I deny myself daily. I deny myself daily. I die. I crucify my flesh, he said. What does that mean? That's denying the desires of the flesh to fulfill the will of God. As we move on, second point, take up his cross daily. So let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. This is where people get a hiccup. Because they read this, and a lot of people believe that taking up your cross daily is like the burdens and the struggles and everything that is in life. That's my cross, and I'm going to carry my struggle. That is not what that means at all. Zero. The cross represents crucifixion. All right? So when you read about, what did Jesus die on? The cross. He was crucified. So where you read the cross, it represents death and crucifixion of the flesh. So when it says, take up your cross daily, it's literally meaning surrender your life to God daily, take up his way and his will, and follow him. That's the third point. Follow me. So what it's saying is, you don't physically kill yourself. You kill your desires and your feelings and your emotions to the point where you say, you know what? I die to myself. I surrender my life to Jesus, and I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. I deny myself. Denying yourself. Jesus denied himself when he said, when he went to the cross, and he said, if this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Denying yourself, taking up the cross daily, is daily putting your flesh under. It's crucifying your flesh. It's crucifying your will, what you want to do. And it's saying, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do today. Tomorrow, I'm going to do exactly what you want me to do, Lord. I'm going to crucify my flesh, my will, my desires, my feelings, and my... Not that feelings and emotions are bad, but when they come against the will of God, you need to crucify them. God gave us feelings and emotions, didn't he? He sure did. And they're very good when they're channeled the right way. Because you can have negative emotions and negative will towards somebody. And that's what he's talking about. You don't want that. You got to put that down. That's why he says every day his mercies are new. Why is that? Because daily you're going to need his mercy to crucify your flesh. Because you're going to want to say something to somebody, do something to somebody, swing at somebody, cut somebody off. These things happen. Your flesh is an unruly beast. And for some people, they need a bigger cross. All right, so that's up to you. All right, you take that for what it's worth. But what I'm saying is every day the potential for your flesh to rise up is there. Every time you wake in the morning, what comes to you? That your fleshly and your feelings start speaking when you open your eyes, don't they? Oh, this hurts. Oh, I don't want to get out of bed. Oh, I'm tired. That's what this is talking about. Saying, no, 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 no. Today is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad today's Sunday and I'm coming to church today. Amen. I'm putting myself, but I want to come to church. It's not hard for me to do that. But there was a day when I was younger that, yes, I got drugged to church. It was an interesting time in my life. I didn't want anything to do with God. But my dear mom that's here today loved me enough to say, you know what? I know what you need, son. Whether you know or not, I know what you need. I'm not calling my mom out, but God bless her for doing that because seeds were planted that whole time when the ground was hard. My flesh was like, I don't want nothing to do with God. This is about the most boring time in my life going to church. I'm just being honest with you. Now it's the most exciting time. Look, there's a prime example of a fleshly wanting something, not knowing what I really wanted and really needed, but finding out later in life, finding out this is what I really need. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And now church is the best time of the week. Yeah, come on. Before it was the worst time, and that's what my fleshly desire was. I can find 5,000 things to do Sunday morning besides go to church. I could go hunting, I could go play in the woods, I could go fishing, I could go play lacrosse, I could do all kinds of fun things that I like to do. But I didn't really know who I really was till I found Jesus. And that changed everything. But I had to deny myself. And that one day in the fall when I have no idea what the minister ministered because I didn't care. I wasn't listening, but my spirit leaped and tears flowed. And I went to the altar and I gave my heart to Jesus. I have no idea what scripture he preached. I do remember the minister's name, but I don't remember the service at all. But I remember going up there and giving my heart to the Lord. And all of a sudden, afterwards, I talked to him and I was like, I feel like I'm on cloud nine. I have total peace in my life. I don't have fear anymore of dying. All these things broke off of my life. And I was like, I had no idea all these things were on my life. I literally, in my flesh, had desires. I had no idea what they were. I thought I did because I thought everything I think is good. Because I think it. You know what I mean? And you're the same way, whether you feel that way or not. You think every decision you make is the best decision. That doesn't mean it's the best decision. I'm just here to tell you. If it's not God's decision, it may not be a good decision. All right? That's why when we deny ourselves, we're saying, God, I trust your decision, and I'm going to receive your decision, whether my flesh likes it or not. And that's why I'll go to church every single Sunday, and every time the doors are open, I'm going to church. Because I know that's your desire, and I want to be a part in your perfect will. Amen. So that's what I do with my life. I say, hey, the church is open. I'm here. Even to the point where now it's like, I want to go do something for somebody else before I do something for myself. Because my desires don't matter. And I've realized if I can do something for somebody else, God will automatically make time for me to fulfill my greatest desires. Because it's better to give than receive. And I've gotten to the place where I'd rather help somebody else. I'm an avid hunter. I love hunting. But now I'm getting to the point where I'd rather take somebody else that's never been before. I'd rather see a young person go and enjoy what God's creation is like than for me to shoot some trophy deer. I'll be honest with you. So I look at these things. I'm like, what can I do to help somebody else out? Have I perfected it? No. Is the Lord still working in my life? Yes. Do I have to die daily? Yes. You don't get to a point where you put all your flesh under and then the golden years of your life, the last 30 years, you're like, I don't have to die to self. I'm perfect in God's eyes. It never gets there. You have to die daily. And I tell you, when you get older, you may, you know, they'll confess to you that you'll have pain and ache and arthritis and this. You got to come to that place of saying, that's not my lot. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I've seen it in my life. Even now, to this point at 42 years old, almost 43, that what the world says isn't the truth. Mm-hmm. People tell me, oh, you're in your honeymoon. If 6 months, a year later, almost 21 years. I'm not saying it's been peaceful the whole time and it's just rosy. But what I'm telling you, it gets better when you work at it.
That's right.
You start understanding the person and finding true love later on in life. You respect the person. You understand them because you end up agape loving them instead of some other loving them like the world does. Because what does the world do? The world looks at the outside appearance. Oh, you're beautiful. Let's get married. Let's have babies. You're beautiful. That's temporal. That was terrible. I'm so sorry. Please scratch that. We're online. It's out there now. Amen. Biblical terminology, there's four terminologies for love. Agape, philo, eros, and the last one's slipping my mind. But there's friendship love. Agape love is self-sacrificial love. But eros love is erotic. And that's what the world bases their love off of. The physical attraction as the number one. And then they try to meet the agape later on. And if they don't get to that point, the physical attraction wears off. And then it doesn't go any longer. They got it flip-flopped because they went with self first and flesh first and not God first. So when you go with God first, you establish the foundation of your marriage. And you can grow old together and get wrinkled together and you still love the person. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Or you don't get wrinkled and you're beautiful your whole life. Amen. Whatever way, when you build it on God and you deny yourself... the anointing is waning. When you deny yourself, you realize the foundation in true life starts living. You start to walk in the will of God. You start understanding spiritual truth. You start understanding how the enemy operates. And then you can navigate life and live in peace every day because it's not about how you feel. It's about what the will of the Lord is and what God's word says. And when you establish that truth in your life, you want to deny yourself. See, there's hobbies I've had my whole life. Those hobbies haven't left because I enjoy doing it. But now that I'm obeying the will of God, He's opening up those hobbies to me in a different way. And it's more fulfilling now than anything I could ever try to do before. I've tried to open doors. Have you ever tried to open a door in your life and it's like, you just keep hitting your head on it. But when the Lord opens the door, it's like, oh, I wish I knew this like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Learning things about your marriage that you thought you knew based off of what you saw other marriages were like. And then you see those other marriages end in divorce and you're like, oh my, there's something I missed. Or you see some house that the family looks all together, beautiful two-story, 4,000 square foot house, but the family's in shambles. Why? The base isn't built right. The foundation isn't right. But I want to encourage you Today is the day you can shore up the foundation. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait another day to say, oh, I missed it for 30 years. I guess I'm done. No. God says, you may have missed it for 30 years, but the next 30 years are going to be better than the last. Amen. Amen. This isn't a Tim McGraw song. I'm just telling you that the next 30 is going to be better than the last 30. You can, some of you got that, but if you, anyway, Jesus. I'm teetering on the anointing and the goofing off, but I need to get focused here. You can literally take what the enemy has stolen from you, and the Lord can restore it in a moment, just like that. You can live in darkness your whole life, and then instantly Jesus can show up in your life, and old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Everything can change from a word of the Lord. Everything. But you have to get to the place of the unit saying, I've done it my way for so long, but I need to make a change. Because insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Well, the different result is God. And when you do it God's way, you will get a change. You will be marked from heaven, and all of heaven will be on your side. Our Heavenly Father, the God of creation, will come and mark you and set you on a path of righteousness that no one can stop, no one can change. And you'll find more fulfillment in these next years than all your past years put together. That's what the Lord is doing now. That is what the Lord is doing now. But this sermon on this scripture right here is a powerful truth. It's a very powerful truth that we must deny ourselves and realize that this life is not about us, it's about Him. Because eternity isn't going to be about you, it's going to be about Him. So why would He change it? Why would He say, hey, you can have 100 years down here, live like hell, and then be with me in heaven, and there's no hell? No, He wants heaven on earth. He doesn't want you to live like hell every day. He wants you to live like you're in heaven with sin removed out of your life. And the only way to do that is deny yourself and follow Jesus. Amen. Why did Peter and all those fishermen, why did they do such great things for God? They denied self, they denied their business, and they did exactly what Jesus said. Jesus is speaking to people here today. He's speaking to people present. He's speaking to people online. He's speaking to you to do certain things, set certain things in order, and follow Him. And watch what the Lord's going to do. He's done miraculous things. He's healed people from all kinds of things. All kinds of things. And the Lord marked me when my daughter was 14 months old and she had a stroke. And the Lord healed her body. And it set me in motion to say, you know what, enemy? You are a liar, and I'm going to live for God the rest of my life. And I'm going to serve Him every day. And it propelled me. I didn't look at the negative to allow the negative to dictate my future. I said, hell with you, devil. I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to serve Him all the days of my life. Amen. And it propelled me. And I'm sorry my daughter had to go through that, but she's healed of it. Amen? And for you guys that know her, she's doing phenomenal. I won't call you out. You're not on camera. But it's those scenarios where I had to get to a place of denying myself in that moment, in the hurt, in the anger that I went through. People have done you wrong, maybe, and you're at a place of anger towards them. You got a release of that. You got a release of family members talking about you. You got a release of friends that betrayed you. You thought they were friends, and then something happened, and you don't even hear from them anymore. Or some that you've had. I've had friends at college before I was saved contact me. What in the H are you up to? And I'm like, I'm a pastor. I hadn't heard from them since. But those things happen. It doesn't hurt me. We had fun times together in the world. But it didn't stay because God has a path for me. And I can't walk away from that path. And I look at this walkway here and I think, that's the narrow way that I must go. And if I don't go the narrow way, I'm trying to go this way to get to the same spot, but I'm crossing chairs. I'm having to jump and duck, trip and fall. But God has a clear path. And when we deny ourselves, it's literally putting us on the straight and narrow path to heaven. But if we can't deny ourselves, we're going to do it in our own power. We got to blaze our own path. And the world would say, go after it. Blaze your own path. You're going to do it. You're going to succeed in life. Well, you can gain the whole world and lose your soul. And you can get punched and beat up the whole way. Or you can buy your way through, but you still end in the same place. And it's not the place God intended for you. Hell was not made for humanity. Hell was made for the devil and all the demons. Not made for humanity. Oh, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. When we deny ourselves, we're saying no to the life we think we want. And we're saying yes to the life that God has for us. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory, in his Father's and in the holy angels. If you could just bow your head and close your eyes. It's a sweet time in the presence of God. We had a good time here today. We laughed a little and cried a little. But the main thing is that the Lord is speaking to people's hearts. If there's some instrumental music, that'd be great. But the Lord is speaking to people's hearts. And I believe faith has risen in this house, has risen in your heart to say, you know what? There's things I may have done, but the Lord can forgive me for those things. As I deny myself, I deny my sins, the past sins that I've made. I'm denying my shortcomings. I'm denying my will and my plan, what I think ought to happen. And I'm saying, you know what? From this day forward, I'm going to make a change. And that change is to take up my cross daily and follow Him. Sure, I have plans. Sure, I may have a vision for my life and my family. But if God is not the center of it, I need to readjust my vision. God is speaking to each and every person differently. I'm not going to try to prophesy every word that the Lord is speaking to each person individually. But I do want to make it real that there is a real God, a living God, and His Spirit speaks to our human spirit. It bypasses our mind. It bypasses our flesh and our feelings. And it speaks directly to the heart. And you may be here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. The things I'm talking about seem a little foreign to you. What is a spirit? What is a soul, mind, will, and emotions? What is your physical body? I don't understand that. Well, I'm here to tell you God created you and He created you a spirit being. And He created you that way that you can live for Him for eternity. And if you want to live for eternity in heaven, I want to give you that opportunity for those here in front of us and for those listening online. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. So if you're willing to change, if you're willing to give your life to the Lord and say, it's not about my will. It's not about my ways. I'm done living in this sinful life that I've lived in. And I want a Lord and I want a Savior. You can say this prayer with your heart and lips out loud. Say, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. And cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again. Jesus, I thank you now for the resurrection and the life that you're giving me. Lord, thank you for eternal life that I receive now in Jesus' name. That's salvation to enter into heaven when you pass away physically. But just as there's salvation for your heart, there's also sanctification and justification to take place in the believer's life. It operates the same way, but it's a different aspect because you're already born again. But you need to repent and you need to get right before God. You can say the same prayer, Lord, forgive me. I confess my sin to you. I ask you to deliver me from that sin. Take that sin away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to your people. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just want to release those online. Thank you for joining us. We love you. Be blessed. God bless you. But for those here in the presence, I want to offer prayer to you.